Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
What a great day! Who's the man? Jesus. Jesus. I was gone last week. Nate was gone last week. We get back together, we come to church with you people, and we get crazy. I had a sound mind and a sound body. Kept myself all together in church in California. Come here and all the rubber bands break. I promise, just break.
We were doing just fine eating fried chicken last night.
Till we get here.
Get back here, what happens?
Somebody say freedom.
Oh, heaven breaks.
Freedom is what happens. Freedom. And you're going to have to tie me to that chair if somebody else doesn't get up and get moving.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. In November, thank you guys. In November last year, I was praying one morning, and it was like a vision. I saw my hand in front of my face, just about from where my sleeve would be. I saw my hand, and it was immediately I knew and understood that what the Lord was saying to me, what was happening, was in the past several years, as pastor of this church, and the church has gone through lots of transitions. Lots of churches go through stuff, tough times, decisions. We made a decision as a church to follow hard after the love of God and the grace of God. And by doing that, we had to sever our ties with ideas and with people who couldn't leave certain religious ideas. And I was like the wrist to the church. It was like the Lord was using me for all those years to speak as a voice into this assembly as your pastor. And it was my joy. But in November of 2014, I saw this hand, and it was like the Lord was saying, I'm going to use more people. Many people will be involved. No longer will you just be the wrist. You'll be one of many who speak into the church and who bring a word, and it's a great joy. And I had such a relief because I realized several people here will be used by God, and now is like a training time. Now is a relief, a release time for you. So I just want to plant this seed in your mind. When you come to church, don't come just to receive. Come on purpose, because God's going to touch you, and you'll be praying for people, and you'll be speaking to people, and you'll be worshiping. And sometime you won't know why, but you'll feel this, like today, I just feel this overwhelming desire to keep praising the Lord. It may be because somebody's coming a long way. Somebody may have come a long way to get to this service today, and maybe it took them till now. Nate talks about it. Sometimes we come and get started right away, but there are people, sometimes you are, in your mind, just your mind, you're overwhelmed with the stuff, and it takes a little while to shake all of that off. And listen to me. Look at me. It's okay. It's all right with me. You don't have to act like me. You don't have to come in here every day doing the same thing, but it isn't okay if you leave the way you came. That's not okay. It's okay, but you need to engage your spirit and push through, because there's nothing I can do for you. I can't worship for you. I can't pray for you. I can't say amen while I'm preaching for you. You got to get engaged. You've got to say, I'm doing this. It's hard. It's discouraging. Sometimes I'm weary, Ray, and you've been sick, and Kathy, you've been sick, and Terry, everybody here has been to the place where you're weary, but then there's something that rises up in you that says, I got to push through this. He's worthy of my praise, even though it's dark. I don't feel real good, but I'm going to put at least one hand up. If you hold it up long enough, the other will just follow, and before long, you may feel like standing up. Do you hear me? So I'm asking you as a congregation to realize that the Spirit of the Lord has moved from this singular idea to many, and you are that. You are the hand that the Lord is going to bless. You are going to be blessed by God, and your words of encouragement and prayer. And I just said a little while ago, rub somebody on the back. I just thought sometimes it just feels good to have some friend just come rub you on the back. And so that little rub may be all somebody needed to know. Somebody cares. A little hug. Maybe you may send somebody home today having faith because somebody loved them. I love the fact that this church is multicultural, multiracial. I thank God that we have people that come here who have a lot of money and people who come that need money. I thank God we got people that come here fat and some who are skinny. I'm thankful for this cross, this mix, because it just is so beautiful to me. You're beautiful to me. What I'm saying is every one of you has a portion to contribute. Do you believe that? So I got to put that in your spirit, because what I saw in my, when I saw that in my hand, I knew what that meant. That, but it was more to me at the moment that folks were going to speak into it, into the church. And several people have often in the past few weeks had something perfect to say. This wonderful, and I compliment you. Last week when Jonathan spoke, Wednesday night, David McKnight, I realized the Lord is doing something wonderful in our church. If you don't come on Wednesday nights, you should come this Wednesday. Have a Bible study together. It's the most wonderful time. For an hour and a half on Wednesday evenings, we eat dinner together, then we have a Bible study, and there's a more opportune chance for people to speak and share on Wednesday nights than it would be like now. Like if I opened it up for now for all of you that want to speak something to testimony, I wouldn't have a chance to preach because so many of you are feeling so good. So, I just want to talk to you today. This is Palm Sunday. It's the celebration in Western Christianity. Our tradition is to celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on this day. Next week we celebrate Easter, and that is the celebration of the resurrection. Oh my God, if we feel this good before the cross, how good will we feel next Sunday, when there's resurrection in the house? Get your dancing shoes out this week and put them on and bring them to church next Sunday. Okay? Okay, I'm going to read two different translations or renditions of the same story. All of the four Gospels talk about this, what we call the triumphal entry. And it is on purpose that I bring it to you today. I kind of break from tradition. I don't like specifically speaking on Palm Sunday about this incident. But because it fits what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, you'll see in a moment this is all going to make sense. From Luke 19, verse 36. Luke chapter 19, verse 36. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to the place where the road goes down, the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully. Everybody say joyfully. Joyfully to praise God in loud voices, in case you wondered if we're supposed to get loud. For all the miracles they had seen. Verse 38, blessed is the King. Somebody say the King. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's look at the same story in John chapter 12. If you just go to John chapter 12, beginning with verse number 12. John chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast. Everybody say, for the feast. So we got this thing going together, and in a little while this will all tie, and you need to keep this in your mind. The fact that they said, here's the King, and this is right at the same time as the feast, because we'll read what Jesus said also at the feast. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. I could preach about that. I could preach to you that when I come here, I come with the anticipation that he's on his way. They took palm branches, which is why we call this Palm Sunday, went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Everybody say, King of Israel? That's going to be real important in just a moment. Say, King of Israel. So we're talking about them saying, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Son of David. Blessed is the King of Israel. Blessed is the King. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, and as it was written, do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion, see, your King is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Israel, the nation of Israel that we, as we know it today, under King David, was a unified and powerful nation. King David was succeeded by his son, Solomon. How many of you remember that King Solomon ruled and wrote Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and was the wisest man in all the earth? Do you remember some of the stories about King Solomon? The Queen of Sheba came to visit him. Some of the stories that interest young men, the fact that he had 300 wives and 800 concubines. When you get my age, you think he was out of his mind. You can take that any way you like. But he wrote all kinds of things, and he was just wise and rich. He just was rich. When King Solomon was about to die, he's setting up his son Rehoboam to become the king. And if you'll please look with me at 1 Kings chapter 12, this will begin to make sense to you why they said what they did about Jesus. 1 Kings chapter 12, please. Because when they said that Jesus, here's the king of Israel, what you need to realize is the nation of Israel had been divided into two parts. And David, the house of David, retained the throne over the southern kingdom, which is Judah. The city of David, Zion, and Jerusalem fell to the tribe of Judah. And Judah and Israel were divided, and the kingdom of Israel became two. The northern kingdom continued to call itself Israel, and the southern kingdom called itself Judah. And I want you to see in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1, Rehoboam, which is Solomon's boy, Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all the Israelites had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, he was still in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon, he returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, this is what they said, your father, Solomon, put a heavy yoke on us. But now, lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you. Does this make sense to you? Rehoboam's king, and the people gather, multiplied thousands, and the spokesmen, the leaders of the people said, hey, your dad was very harsh, and he taxed us heavily. If you will lighten the yoke, we will serve you. Rehoboam answered, go away for 3 days and come back to me. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. How would you advise me to answer these people? He asked. They replied, these old men asked, they replied, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, what is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, lighten the yoke your father put on us? The young men who had grown up with him replied, tell these people who have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions. So when the people came back, Rehoboam said, not only will I not lighten the yoke, I'm going to make your taxes, the oppression, the heavy yoke, the burden, heavier. If you look down to verse 19, so Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. So Rehoboam refuses to lighten their load but makes it harder. When Jesus came to the feast, if you'll look now at Matthew chapter 11. I'm building a history for you, and I won't preach long after this is over. You'll get it. You'll understand why this is such an important day. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So when Jesus comes and they see him, the fact that they said, "Here is the Son of David," listen now, "and he's the King of Israel." They are saying, here comes the one who is going to reunite the kingdom. He's going to make the two one. Oh, God, help me. When Rehoboam refused to listen to the people, the kingdom was divided. What does the Bible say? A kingdom divided against itself, or a house divided against itself, is going to fall. It can't stand. So when Israel, the northern tribes, rebelled against Judah, the southern tribes, the kingdom of Israel, the nation of Israel, from that time on until now, has been broken. And when Jesus stood up at the feast and said, "Come to me," he was going back to Rehoboam. He's going back to Jeroboam. It is so plain to them in their culture. This would, like, if I said to you the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. Everybody in this nation would know, but if you told someone in Russia, or if you spoke of it in Mexico, or if you went over to Canada, people in the school may not know what you're talking about, but we know. Right? If you said the Emancipation Proclamation, if you said the Gettysburg Address, right? There's a big movie, I saw it, was really cool, Selma. People would know, we got Selma, Alabama. All you do is say Selma, and it means a lot to us, doesn't it? Everybody say amen. So when Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," and he said, "Take my yoke," everybody in Israel knew that's exactly why we're divided, because the yoke of Rehoboam was heavy. The king brought a heavy yoke. It divided the nation. And Jesus is saying, "Come to me. I'm the king you're looking for. I will lighten your load." And I'm going to tell you today, this is so big, I don't know if I can get it all done in 12 minutes, but listen to me. The purpose of Jesus in coming was to lighten your load. The church has reversed the plan of God, and the plan has been from the church to make your load heavier. Do this. Don't do that. Come here. Don't go there. Give when you don't feel like giving. Do what you cannot do. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You put things on people that you will not bear. They can barely carry the load, and you won't lift your hand. You won't lift one finger to help them." I'm here to encourage you today. I believe the church ought to be a load lifter. I believe when you come here, you ought to feel better when you leave, not worse. I believe instead of more pressure, God came to lift the load off of you. I believe that Jesus came to lighten your burden. I believe he came to deliver you, relieve you of your grief, to take away from you the sense of failure, to give you a sense of victory and peace. He said, "Come to me. I am easy." You know what the title of this message today is? Easy. Easy, baby. He came to lift your load. So when the people heard him say, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light," listen, they started to celebrate. When he comes, it says when they saw him, they started celebrating. Here comes the king. This is not only the Son of David, the King of Judah. This is the king who's going to reunite Israel to Judah. Hallelujah. Here comes the king. This is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were all shouting and crazy. And they said, "You got to make these people be quiet." And he said, "If they're quiet, these rocks are going to make an announcement." Why? Because he came to lighten your load. He came to lighten your load. This is a, I'm going to pray for you. Father, I'm asking you right now to open our eyes, open our minds, because this revelation has to settle into the hearts of your people. This is not seed for the weeds. This is not seed for the path. This is not seed for stony ground. I'm preaching seed to good people. I'm putting the word of God in good, tender hearts. In Jesus' name, help us to believe it. Help us to believe this. In spite of all you've ever heard, in spite of all tradition, I'm telling you that Jesus came to lift your load. He came to lighten your burden. He came to make you feel better, not worse. He came to lift up your head, not make you hang down. He came to strengthen your feeble knees. He came to lift up your hands. Like Terry said, he came to give you strength to lift up your hands and praise him. He did not come to put you down. He came to overcome the one who does put you down. He came to reverse the order of the kingdom. He came to say, this is my kingdom, and I am going to lighten your load. Don't worry. Don't lay in bed and worry. Don't wonder if you're going to overcome. Don't wonder if God's going to come through. He's the burden bearer. That's what this day's about. When they started putting their stuff on the road and all these palm branches, what they were shouting was, we found the one that'll lift the burden. Now, I'm not black, and I can't relate to some of the quiet prejudices that still exist in this nation. But I can get mad about it. I'm allowed to care about it. Because some of you don't know what it feels like to be oppressed. If you've never been poor, you don't know. Right? You can't know. I can't know. Melvin, I try to know. I want to know. But I can't know. There's some stuff I can't know. There's some stuff that I go through that you can't relate to. You can't know. You can't know. I've had people make fun of me and act like, well, boy, I'd sure like to have your job. And you know what I think to myself? I'd give it to you. I would give it to you. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to invest in it. I just give the whole thing. Have at it, baby. I had a guy tell me that. My wife got real upset. I could do just as good as you. I said, well, have at it, brother. Somebody say amen. Nobody wants to walk in your shoes. Nobody knows what you've been through. That's right. Listen, nobody knows. Nobody knows what you've been through. Nobody gets it. We try to get it. I try to relate. Daphne here, fresh, comes to our church a few months ago, loves me, brings me gifts, writes me love notes, and prays for me and Tara does. Ain't nothing to be embarrassed about that. You love me and my wife. She's just a little crazy, that's all. But you don't know where she's been through. You don't know where she's been. You don't know what she's been through. And I'm here to tell Daphne, he's lifting your burden. He's not making it worse. He's not like where you came from. And I prayed for you that you would get this, because so often we don't feel like we're successful unless we've had some kind of grief put on us. Like churches got, I remember we used to count people go to the altar. If we just get them to come to the altar, cry a little bit. Repent. You got to think about Jonah. Think about Jonah. Sucker gets spit out of a whale, going the wrong way, as disobedient as anybody can ever be. And the first thing he says when he gets out is, repent! I mean, these Old Testament people were screwed up, man. All they did was make it worse. Am I right or not? Am I right? It's like the whole Testament is heavy, man. Even the good story about Abraham. Abraham, you're going to have a son. That got so heavy that he decided to have one with Hagar. God's plan just seemed heavy to him. God said to Moses, I want you to lead these people out. And you know what Moses ended up saying? Hey, man, these people are too heavy for me. I cannot do this. I can't bear this bunch. Did he not? You got to. If you're not going, I'm not going. That's what Moses said. Heavy, heavy. It's like heavy. Everybody say heavy. Heavy. It's like we've got history of heavy. The whole history is heavy. Yes. Heavy, heavy. Yes. Oh, yeah, heavy. David, going to make you king. I'm a shepherd. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I know you're going to screw up really bad. And the Bible says, do you know that the day that David committed adultery with Bathsheba, did you know that that first verse of that chapter says, and the springtime of the year came when kings go forth to battle? David was a warrior. He should have been out fighting. But he's so tired and wore out, heavy, he stayed home. And it got him. Heavy. Heavy. Went from being worn out, can't fight, to now he's got adultery and murder and everything else on his head. Somebody say heavy. I'm telling you, the church was heavy to me. The commandments of God were grievous. The stuff I thought I was supposed to do was heavy. But I have a revelation for you. When Jesus came, he said, not my yoke. Do not be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. Don't let people put you back under that. If you're here today and you live in the United States of America, Brenda, then when you get up in this church, you stand up and we'll dance. Why? Because we're not white, we're not black, we're not women, we're not men. We're not Gentiles, we're not Jews, but in him we're all the same. He set every one of us free. Does somebody hear what I'm telling you? He came to set you free. Somebody say free. Somebody say free. He came to lift your oppression. He came to lift your pain. He came to take away the grief that's in your spirit. He came to take away the I'm not able. He came to take away that I can't. He came to take away your impossibilities. Do you hear me? I'm telling you, it's a breathe on you today and give you the sense, by God, I can do this. I can do this. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. That's why we shout, and here comes the one who's coming in the name of the Lord. Here's the one who's going to reunite the kingdom. Listen to me. Listen to me. It means that my spirit that wants to serve God and my body are at times going to be healed. And I'm going to shout and praise him with all my might. I'm not going to be a divided man. I'm not going to be flesh and spirit. I'm going to be one man in Christ that he's going to make me want to do it. He's going to fill my mind with such hope that I'm glad to serve him. Instead of it being a burden, it's going to be my joy. He said, I'm going to bring the kingdom back together. The prophets, I finish now, spoke of it and said, if you read the King James, the first verses of some of the prophets like Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, they said, the burden of the Lord came to me. The New International Version says, the oracle of the Lord, a word from the Lord. And sometimes we used to use the word burden. I've been given a burden, had a burden for you. Did you ever hear anybody say that? Kind of old-fashioned, they don't say it much anymore. People say, I had a burden for you. Had a heaviness come over me, a concern for you. And I just want to tell you that Jesus is the burden bearer. The reason they got so crazy and so excited was because he said, I'm your king. And I declare to you that anything that causes weight, anything that causes you to be heavy is not from God. It's not from God. Did you hear me? You need to hear me. Because people in religion, preachers, church, has excused their heaviness as if it were the will of God. And he said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come to me. So when you get in trouble with the church, go to him. When you get in trouble with your husband, go to him. When you get in trouble with your wife, go to him. When you get in trouble with the government, go to Jesus. When you're physically in trouble, go to Jesus. When you're mentally down, when you're dark and gray and heavy, go to Jesus. He'll lift your burden. He'll make it light. Actually, he'll make it light. Let's stand, shall we? I feel like I'm preaching my message today because I think God called me to lighten the load. I think God called me to make it easier for you. Do you hear me? Now, if you wonder, you think, well, he's a compromiser. He's just full of love and full of grace. And when are we ever going to get the hell part? I've just been called. I've been called to make your load lighter. To tell you he's bigger than all your mess. And he doesn't even trip over it. Doesn't confuse him. Doesn't cause him any sweat. He just knows exactly who you are. And he's a load lifter. He's a load lifter. Now, I'm going to finalize this by saying, I'm asking you in the name of the Lord, you who have become the hand and what God is going to flow through all of us, not just me, I want you to go lifting people's loads. I want you to go tell them it's going to be all right. Tell everybody, because God's working in their lives right now. Don't invite them to church. Invite them to Jesus. Jesus said, come to me. You don't have to invite them to church. I don't mean don't. I'm just saying you don't have to. Jesus will meet them right there where you're standing at the counter, right there at the job, right there in line at the bank, right there in the car. He'll meet you right where they are. Why? Because he came to lift people's loads. And if you want to do what Jesus did, don't keep score. Don't count how many. Don't look at the attendance. Just help people. And that's what Jesus is doing right now. He's going all over the place just lifting people's loads. If that means you give somebody $5 that you don't know, then you better put that $5 in their hand, not in the offering. This means you can say amen now.
Amen.
If the Holy Spirit says to you, give that person $20, you have no clue the cry that God heard from that oppressed person in bed. And when you walk up and give them a $20 bill, you may walk away. Don't you bring that money here. Do not bring that money to this house. You give it where the Holy Spirit told you to give it. If you're supposed to encourage somebody, don't wait till you get here to pat somebody on the back and give somebody a hug. You are sent. You are being sent right now to be load lifters. To be yoke breakers. You are being sent out by Jesus to do what he would do out in the street. And when people meet you, they're going to say, that had to have been God, because nobody else knew how I was feeling. Nobody knew what was on my mind. But when that person showed up and said what they said, my load was lifted. My burden fell off of my shoulders. I no longer felt discriminated against. I didn't wonder whether I was loved anymore. I felt loved and accepted. I was preaching better than you were saying amen. Maybe you're hungry. Lord, we just thank you right now for this word today and this wonderful sense of freedom that you're sending us out of here without 100-pound Bibles to beat people over the head, but you're sending us out of here with a word of the Spirit that's going to lift people's loads, set people free, free them from sin, free them from oppression, free them from sickness. People are going to be healed. People are going to be delivered, because people in this room right now are leaving with the Spirit that's in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the King, the Spirit. Oh, my God, send us out to do it with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.